AV squad. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about the things that we did. First of all, oral health is a global issue. It's a basic right. It's intertwined with UN Millennium Development Goals, and we did that with Columbia University, with Dr. Sachs when he was just beginning that. We've certainly tried to get some emphasis in this in the World Health Organization. And in fact, the NCD conference of the UN was mentioned, but it should also be mentioned, since I'm a very practical, realistic person, that the president of Tanzania, who organized that, has a daughter who's a dentist, in fact, a pediatric dentist. So that never hurts, okay? Never hurts. That's right. And I think the relationship between oral disease, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, respiratory disease, it's real. The same risk factors exist for all of these things. And so focusing on prevention through primary care and common risk factors seems to make sense, and that's where we spent a great deal of time with a very interested group of faculty and an extraordinarily gifted and interesting group of students. I noticed on one of your slides the name of Haewon Lee, who's one of our alums who spent time in Thailand and was very involved in global oral health and stays involved in global oral health. Those are the kinds of things that make a dean very proud. The types of oral disease are very common, and the last time I was anywhere where I saw a list of diseases with the highest morbidity, there were two diseases in the oral cavity that were in the top five of that. And that included both periodontal disease, so-called gum disease, second here, and dental decay. Dental decay, or caries, is the most chronic disease on the planet. It affects 90% of adults worldwide, and it can have a devastating effect on children in terms of pain, in terms of development, in terms of nutrition, in terms of mental development and what they can do eventually. So these things are really, really very important. Oral cancer certainly is among the 10 most common cancers. NOMA is a very serious disease, uncommon, but a public health problem that affects children in the world's poorest regions. And certainly there's correlation of oral symptoms with HIV/AIDS symptoms, which is still a very common disease. But I will tell you, I've been in this area long enough to know and see changes that are immense. So I still teach first-year medical and dental students a course called Patient Doctor One. This is a course where they learn to take a history from a patient for the very first time. And I will never forget the first time we went to see an HIV/AIDS patient. The students asked me if it was okay to shake hands with the patient. Now it's a curable disease. So progress can be made, and progress still needs to be made in a lot of areas. So, as someone in the dental field, there are smiles and then there are smiles. This is NOMA on the right side. Most of the dental profession takes care of the smiles on the left, but in fact, there are a lot of smiles on the right that need to be taken care of, and that's what our global health program is designed to do. You talked about the availability of dentists. This is one of the very fine maps that's in the FDI Atlas, which was a great piece of work done by Javi Benzian and all his other pals at the FDI, which shows, in fact, the differences in terms of how few dentists are in some areas, i.e. in Asia and in Africa, and how some areas have lots of dentists. I'm reminded of a brief snippet that appeared in the journal Science about a year ago, and I think it was a paper that was given at a conference at University of North Carolina. I don't remember the details of it, but it described two towns in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico, okay? One town maintained its traditional ways, their diets, their culture. They had one dentist in the town and a very low decay rate. Another town about 50 miles away had gone the way of the West, had sugar drinks, other kinds of foods, Western foods introduced, that had a huge decay rate and 12 dentists. And that's what it amounts to. So in the United States, there's one dentist for every 2,200 people. Going down to Ethiopia, where there's one dentist for more than 1.2 million people. So it's a matter of scarcity, excuse me, of providers, plus the burden of disease, and there's a great need for oral health professions, especially for the most vulnerable populations, and that holds for our own country right here in America as well. Nothing upsets me more than to see thousands of people on these mercy health lines waiting to get their teeth fixed, okay, because they've been in pain for 8 months, and all the dental societies take great credit for putting these things together. Well, we should deal with them in different ways. So what has our response been? Our response has been in education, and we've tried to educate both our dental students and the medical students and specialty residents in studying, preventing, at least understanding what sits in the mouth. Years ago, I also used to teach physical diagnosis to medical students on a surgical rotation at Mass General Hospital, and nothing upset me more than to see their write-ups that said, eyes, perla, neck, no adenopathy, pharynx, benign. Went right past the mouth, right to the pharynx, and it was benign. And it was at that time that we began to offer courses during that physical diagnosis block, both at Mass General and at the Peter Ben Brigham Hospital, now the Brigham and Women's, to teach the medical students on rotation about oral health so they at least knew there were teeth in there without having a family member who was a dentist. We've also tried to educate individuals around the world, and we've created educational materials for this. We've also tried to convene stakeholders, and there are some examples that I'll give you of that, and establish strategic partnerships around the world. But there are lots of people doing this, so why does what we do make a difference? We established a new global health course for the dental students and specialty residents, and this was just highlighted in the most recent Journal of Dental Education. One of the faculty members, who many of you may know, Brittany Seymour, was selected as the first Global Health Fellow for all of Harvard University this year. And she's the one who did most of the work designing this course. We have created a concentration in global health with a possible honors track for our students. And we've introduced public health themes through new case studies, since most of our educational system is problem-based learning. Excuse me. And specialty program curricula. And we've convened a multidisciplinary conference on integrating oral health with primary care at local and global levels. If Harvard's good at anything, it's convening. Thank you very much. I'm getting over this. I just gave it to my wife. So we are engaging in oral health curriculum projects, the University of Haiti School of Dentistry at Rwanda. In fact, we have a faculty member on the ground now. We've designed the curriculum, and we're helping them start their first dental school in Rwanda. No small task. In the School of Dentistry at Awadi, we've sent faculty in a collaborative venture to improve their curriculum, and there are others under discussion. And we're producing continuing education initiatives for those already practicing dentistry and medicine in both developed and developing countries. So some of the global partnerships we've formed, I'll go to the bottom first. At the bottom it says we partnered with King's College London to create an annual international educational forum for dental school deans and chief dental officers. And this is an amazing, amazing program. It alternates between Boston and London. Next March it's in London. And Rahman Betty leads the effort for King's College. And it's leadership and management training for deans and chief dental officers. And it really has more than 100 alumni now. This year is Senior Dental Leaders 8. It's an incredible alumni association that's led to some of the efforts that you described in your talk in other parts of the world, because children's oral health is the main theme behind this. So we've also formed a consortium of dental school professors in East Africa to look at research topics. We partnered with Dr. Stupien, and we had a lot of help from Lois Cohn, who many of you may know from the NIDCR, to partner with the Pan American Health Organization and integrate oral health into the WHO's Non-Communicable Disease Initiative. We have students, probably one or two a summer, who go down to the Pan American Health Organization and do some very, very interesting work. And we also, along with UCSF and John Greenspan, have co-founded the Oral Health Special Interest Group of the Consortium of Universities in Global Health, CUGH. And just today I had an email that CUGH is now going to become part of a wider worldwide consortium of universities in global health. And it's similar to the kinds of organizations that organizational levels that you're going through as well. So we've been trying to leverage our resources to maximize our impact because we are really small. So we've focused on two major programs, Haiti and Rwanda, and using this acronym IDEA, International Doctoral and Educational Programs to Advance Global Health. For specialty residents, we're helping to develop educational programs and develop their faculty. Thank you, Myron. Create in-country research expertise and infrastructure, focus on health education, promote careers in academia, and foster a community of global leaders in oral health education, research, and patient care. And this has been going on well. We've met with the dean of the Haitian Dental School and other collaborators, and we're hoping that this will get underway in next March. I'm sorry for the typo. The same kind of program exists for Rwanda. The health minister has been very supportive. The Clinton Foundation has been supportive of this, but it's not without its problems. One day it's going great guns, one day it's not going such great guns. But we are doing this with faculty from the University of Maryland, and we've designed a curriculum. It's approved by the Ministry of Health. And as I said, someone's on the ground there. This school will train both BDS dentists and dental therapists. So, we've tried to create a domino effect by utilizing what we know best, and that is education and research, to understand global disease burden, create new knowledge, and deliver novel care delivery systems, global partnerships, and most importantly, to develop the next generation of leaders. And we are blessed with students who are really interested in doing good and doing well, they do some incredible things, and it's not a matter of tourism for them. It's a matter of commitment and dedication, and we'll continue to do this. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Well, as you can see, he's very much involved in global health and public health, and at some point we should probably give him an honorary MPH. Thank you, Bruce.
Why? Just tell me I don't have to pay dues before.
Our next speaker is Dr. Irene Ajatmaka. She is with the Center for Health Administration and Policy Studies at the University of Indonesia in Jakarta. She's the senior researcher there and is the founder of the Innovative Oral Health Program, which has three different components, which I'm sure she will discuss with you. She received her PhD in dentistry in 22 months at the University of Indonesia, resulting in a Cary simulator, and she's currently working on some software for animation. So she's come a long way. We look forward to hear what she has to say. Doctor.